Blog Talk Radio.
So it looks like R. Kelly is finally going to have to answer for everything that he's been faced with in the past few months. It looks like it is a win for cancel culture today. A win for cancel culture. Now, there is a time and a place where we can discuss the toxicity of cancel culture. We can do that. We can talk about how the rush to judgment, the need to have an opinion so quickly, and not just have an opinion, but to act on said opinion. We can talk about at some point how that's not good for the culture. But in this case, with R. Kelly, it won today. News just broke, and by the way, it has been a crazy news day, a crazy news Friday. The last Friday of Black History Month, as it was noted on Twitter, has been a wild one. Brandon Caldwell from Up Rocks noted that on Twitter. A wild last Friday of Black History Month. Of course, we had the Jussie Smollett story that had been pervasive all through the last couple of weeks, maybe the last month, the entire month since that happened at the end of January, I believe. So yeah, the entire month. And today, on Friday, February 22nd, R. Kelly has been charged with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. It was not clear at the time of this recording whether those charges were related to the video that was released recently, or not released, but I guess released to the prosecutors in Cook County. There was a video of him with another teenage girl, or another video of him with a teenage girl, not the infamous one that is referred to in the recent R. Kelly documentary on Lifetime or in pop culture references, but a different tape recently was given to the prosecutors in Cook County, who I guess were already looking at R. Kelly. You know, we'd already had those stories about him having issues with the city and his recording studio getting shut down because it was violating city codes and actually being used as living quarters, which we all believe to be used as a place to harbor possibly abused or brainwashed or in some way victimized girls or young women. We don't know if the new tape is related to what these charges are related to the new tape, but we don't really need to know for us to understand that R. Kelly has this long track record that is seeming to finally catch up with him. And so the attorney who turned over this videotape says the day of reckoning has arrived for R. Kelly. I think that's a fair way to put it. I mean, the latest headline for the Chicago Sun-Times is that R. Kelly is charged with sexually abusing four victims, at least three of them minors. He's been doing this for over 20 years, for close to 30 years now. I'll be 30 years old this May. R. Kelly has been a star for the majority, for basically all of my life. Grew up on R. Kelly, as many of you did, in one way or another, no matter what age group you are. If you're at least my age, I would say. If you're at minimum my age and then older, you in some way. And if you're from, I guess, obviously from a certain cultural background, R. Kelly is likely to have been a part of your your life. I know it was certainly a part of mine without getting into too much detail. TP2, the original Ignition. We've had him around forever. And we've known about his tendencies as it was documented in the Surviving R. Kelly documentary on Lifetime. We've had receipts for years. So it is a day of reckoning. It's certainly a day of reckoning. And you know what, with R. Kelly, I mean, the thing is we've known. The amazing part about this is that he's been able to operate in plain sight for so long, and he's been able to skirt. And that's why I call it a win for cancel culture today. Because, again, for all the criticisms of cancel culture, which are legitimate, we've had receipts on this guy forever. And the evidence in a lot of cases, at least in the one that he was able to beat, is on tape. He is allegedly taping crimes. And he's still been able to skirt. That's been the fascinating part about this. And so for cancel culture to get out there, and for the documentary to get out there, and for people to gravitate to it the way they did, I mean, I think the public outrage really spoke to, I think that reached out to the people who were in charge of actually being able to do something about this. If not his past crimes, the ones where the statute of limitation isn't up, where the double jeopardy isn't an issue, where you might have willing witnesses. I mean, there was work to be done there. And we don't have all the details yet about where this evidence is coming from, how much this is related to what we know about from the documentary, and again from that videotape that was recently turned over to the prosecutors. But we got receipts. We've got receipts. And the beautiful thing about this, or I guess the beautiful thing about America, is that R. Kelly still gets his day in court. Still gets his day in court. It's not how America works, where just because we strongly believe a guy belongs in prison, we don't get to just throw him in there. We don't get to just throw him in there. They're going to have to prove this case. They say they got a case against R. Kelly. They're going to have to prove it. They say they got 10 counts. 4 victims, 3 of them minors. Got to prove the case. That's why he's still out here. They've tried this before. They have tried this before. Don't get to just throw a man in prison just because you know he's guilty. Got to prove it. So this will be fascinating. I'm doing this podcast just ahead of a news conference with the Cook County State's Attorney, Kim Fox. She's supposed to hold a news conference about this, about these charges. Or at least this is what the Chicago Sun-Times is saying. So, a win for cancel culture. And congratulations to everybody who wanted something done about R. Kelly. Here it is. I think most of all, you have to be happy for the people who, are victims of these crimes or of these alleged crimes. Maybe they finally get some type of justice. Maybe the people whose lives have been supposedly affected by R. Kelly in such a negative way finally get justice. Because after all of us shut up about it, people still got to live with what happened. People still got to live with what happened to them. People still got to live with the decisions that they made. All the people who was out here enabling R. Kelly. If R. Kelly goes down for 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse and you was out here paying for his hotels, sneaking his girls in, and it just overall enabling this kind of behavior, first of all, you should just be glad that you don't go to jail. Hope that you don't end up under somebody's jail. But you got to be happy for the people that are getting justice here. A day of reckoning. That's a good way to put it. Robert Kraft, man, what is going on? Hey, look, it is a crazy Friday for famous Roberts. And Robert Kraft, man, this dude, they're saying out in Florida, Jupiter, somewhere out by Orlando, nice little affluent area out by Orlando, Robert Kraft is charged with 2 counts of soliciting prostitute. It's part of a prostitution sting, which was part of a larger investigation into human trafficking. Now, let's just say this ain't a good look. It's never a good look when you get caught up in a prostitution sting because, well, it's just kind of embarrassing, right? It's kind of just generally embarrassing and not something that you want out there. You know, if you're, this is something that you're trying to do, it's not something you want out there, right? You don't, this is, you want to keep this a secret. You know, like, no matter if Robert Kraft is guilty or not, or found to be guilty or not in this, he, I am sure, did not want any part of what happened at those massage parlors, or at that massage parlor in Florida. He didn't want that out there. Whatever happened. Even if it was just a massage, I think. I don't think he went out there. I think most of us feel comfortable assuming that more than massages happen one way or another. So, to acknowledge, first of all, the, you know, how obviously embarrassing the story is and how easy it is to latch on to the headline, the name, the type of alleged crime, or the type of story that it is, sexual in nature, scandalous in nature, easy to latch on. But we have, like, a number of layers of this story that we can kind of go through. Like, there's the fun part, right, of, like, wondering why a billionaire would be soliciting a prostitute in a nondescript massage parlor when he's a billionaire and seemingly could think of a more sophisticated arrangement than that, you would think. I mean, especially an old billionaire. I mean, he's been rich for a long time, you know, like you would think, you know, like the idea that Robert Kraft is among 100 or so, however many other regular dudes soliciting prostitutes at this nondescript massage parlor is kind of funny. Like, Robert, you're out of place. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Morals aside, what are you doing here? You don't belong. So there's that part of it. There is the, I think there was a quick rush to discuss whether soliciting or whether prostitution should just be legalized, because it is in some places. So should it just be something that is legal? I mean, he's only charged with misdemeanor anyway. What's the big deal if a person, man or woman or otherwise, I shouldn't say otherwise, if anyone wants to trade on their body in a sexual way, why not? Why not allow that? People are making that argument. We want to have that discussion. What do they get hit with, though? This is about human trafficking, which is true. The uncomfortable intersection of these separate discussions, right? Like, there is a debate to be had about whether people should be allowed to trade on their bodies with sex. Whether people should be allowed to have sex for money or pay money for sex. on the other side here, we have a discussion where we actually don't have a discussion. We have a consensus that we cannot have sex slaves. We cannot traffic humans. There is a consensus on that. So there's no debate to be had there. These things are connected. And so that's where we have a tough time, because in one regard, there is a discussion to be had, and in another regard, there is not. Which makes it a little bit convoluted. So, yeah, Robert Kraft, the reports are that he was at this massage parlor twice. They opened this investigation. This investigation was opened up last October. And I guess between then and now, he's been caught in there on tape. Again, on tape. Robert's on tape. Caught up there twice. We'll see. We'll see what the NFL has to say about it. We'll see what Mike Freeman, I'm on Twitter right now. Mike Freeman saying the punishment Kraft might face from the NFL is a 6-game suspension and $500,000 fine, $500,000 fine, basically. The accusations could be ruled a violation of the personal conduct policy. So 6 games. 6 games for the owner, solicitor, and prosecutor. I don't know what 6 games does for the owner. It just means that the owner just doesn't have to deal with his team, doesn't have to worry for. I mean, what are 6 games going to do for Robert Kraft, who's won 6 Super Bowls in the last 20 years? You think he would trade that? Hey man, you're going to win 6 Super Bowls, but right after the 6th one, you're going to get caught up soliciting a prostitute as part of this larger human trafficking investigation, then we're going to take away your access for like 6 weeks. He'd be good with that. I think he would be pretty good with that. So he's not losing here if what Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report is saying is true. So we will see. But the Patriots, man, they cannot win for losing. They cannot win for losing. They can't get out of their own way. There's always something going on with these guys. Always something going on. You got Tom Brady, Bill Belichick issues last offseason, and now they're going to have to deal with this. In the face of all of this success, they cannot get out of their own way. It is amazing. Real quick, we can touch on I just wanted to note about this whole thing that it is important that we have the discussion separately, or at least don't confuse the two. The point I made earlier about sex work versus sex traffic, obviously, whether you legalize sex work or not, you are going to have sex trafficking. So we can discuss these things or talk about these things differently. If Bob Kraft in some kind of way is involved, and we don't have any reports or indications so far that he's involved in the sex trafficking part, look, if he is involved in that part, if he knows anything about that, then that is a problem. And I would argue, and I made this point on Twitter a while ago, since he's the only famous person, the only famous name on that list, and we're assuming for now that he's the richest, as a billionaire, we're assuming he's the richest person. So we're assuming that he is the most influential and powerful person on that list. He's the person most likely to know what's actually going on at that place. We're not accusing him of funding it. We're not accusing him of somehow being connected to it. But I would argue that it's most likely that he would be most likely of all of them to have any kind of knowledge of what's really going on. He's the least likely to be able to say, hey, man, I was just coming here for a good time, and I didn't really know that these women were being held against their will, brought here from another country, under false premises. Like, I didn't know any of that. He's the least likely to be able to actually say that. So there we do have a problem. It is not funny anymore. It is not simply about, hey, should prostitution be legal? It's about, is the New England Patriots owner in some way connected to a sex trafficking ring? Like, is he going in there simply to have a good time? Which, hey, again, we see these stories all the time. If you follow the A section in your newspaper, or if you follow local news reports, there is a prostitution bust, sting, whatever you want to call it. There's one of those, it seems like, at least every week. You get those, the slideshows of mugshots of just these hopeless saps who were busted in this ring. We see that all the time. If Bob Kraft is one of those guys, hey, you know, it's, again, it's embarrassing. It's kind of funny. But, hey, no big deal. If Bob Kraft is in some way has a connection to the woman, Zane, let's pull up her name, Zane, the woman who was actually charged there, if he has a connection to her or her bosses, because those are the actual monsters of the story, right? They're the ones who are harboring these victims, these women who are being held against their will. They're the ones who are profiting off of their supposed sex work. They're the ones who brought them there, the ones who lied to them, who are abusing them. They said, I saw one report that said hygiene was minimal. Are you kidding me? Bob Kraft is going to a massage parlor soliciting prostitutes where the hygiene was minimal? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Men with far less, not just me, I don't want to just say men, people with far less money, are kicking it with more dignity than that. Again, that's not to take the focus off of people who are being abused in this situation. Because if Bob Kraft is in any way connected to these people, I do not know how to pronounce her first name, but Zhang is the last name of the woman who was arrested and charged with deriving support from the proceeds of prostitution, keeping and frequenting a house of prostitution, and 26 counts of procuring some prostitution. Wow. So if he's connected to her or her bosses, we got a bigger story here. We've got cancel culture is going to have to come in on Bob Kraft with the quickness. No doubt about it. At the same time the story was breaking, we had one out of Houston. I work in local news in Houston, and we had a story of a 14-year-old runaway who was being pimped out by a guy out here in Houston. She'd run away from home. She's from a small town. The constable said, like, less than 100 miles away. She's from a small town, runs away from home, comes here, meets a guy who, befriends her, gives her, I guess it's this friendship. She's a runaway, right? So, you know, takes advantage of her vulnerability and pimps her out, grooms her and pimps her out. This guy, I guess, was just busted. And that story locally is breaking as the Bob Kraft story is breaking. And then the R. Kelly story is breaking as that one is breaking. So local, national, sports, music, entertainment. So many nefarious sex deeds surrounding all of these areas, right? But we have to be able to discuss them in the proper context. Understand what's going on. Don't rush to judgment before all the facts come out. If there was anything we learned about the Jesse Smollett story, which until today was the story, of at least if you're on Twitter or, if you follow the tea leaves in that way, you know, some people I know some people were annoyed by how much attention that story got, and I certainly understand elements of that perspective or certain arguments for that. But if we learn anything about that, it was that rushing to judgment and assuming the truth before actually finding it out really makes you look stupid. Really makes you look stupid, because what do you end up with? You end up with some clown, allegedly, an alleged clown, like Justice Smollett, who fabricates a story, who fabricates a hate crime. Like the corniest thing that you could do. A lot of people have taken a serious tone about this, about how it damages and it flies in the face of the real fight against racism and against homophobia and against violence and things like this, you know, the real fight against things like this. And there is obviously something to that. But I think the larger story is really just how stupid he looks. Because the thing is, you can't undermine something as serious as hate crimes, racism, and homophobia. You cannot undermine the seriousness of those things unless you truly just want to. Like, why would we let a clown, a fool, some kind of sociopath ruin the effort or the fight against these horrible things? Like, you don't do that unless you want to. So, I don't buy into that as much. I think that if you are truly against these things, you will be consistent and you will stay against these things for as long as they exist. So if we learn anything, you don't rush to judgment. You understand why media covers their behind and says, allegedly, accused of, police say, qualifiers like that, primarily to keep from being sued, but also to keep from being wrong, because the story, the truth of the matter, it's not that the truth changes, but the information does, your understanding does. And so now in this story that our understanding has changed, we have to talk different. The allegedly does not apply to the Make America Great Again attack as it applies to Jesse, right? Because now he has to get his day in court. Now he's the supposed criminal, right? What a fascinating story. The thing is, now that we know that no one was hurt, now that we know this was a victimless crime, aside from the wasted public resources, you know, on this investigation, but now that we know that this was essentially a victimless crime when it comes to violence, at the very least, we can just laugh at the idea of three black dudes staging a Make America Great Again styled attack out in the freezing cold polar vortex time, a time when ain't nobody really trying to be outside. Ain't nobody trying to get a sandwich. Nobody's going to Subway. No one's trying to commit a hate crime. Everyone's just trying to get somewhere and be warm. But you got these three cats who, for some reason, think it's a good idea to stage a hate crime that was never all that believable from the get-go. Like, the hilarity of that. I think our only regret is that there is no videotape of the absurdity.